Welcome to
Got Your Milk!
FX is the Strain Podcast. My name's Bubba. With me, as always, is...
Hey, it's Mork!
And filling
and,
in...
And that guy next to
and
me is...
And filling in his legally bound amount of podcasts based on the strain that he has to do this season, it's Catfish. Catfish, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. This show's almost over, right? I'm doing great.
Is that why you're wearing sunglasses, so we can't see your tears?
Exactly. This season is almost over.
Okay.
This was the last episode before the season finale.
Right.
And Catfish is here for the last time he'll be here for this season. Catfish, where are you going to be next weekend?
Not here.
Excellent, very much. Now, we have a fourth special guest this week. And Mork, why don't you introduce him?
Oh, man, we are so lucky. So a lot of listeners, this is a little bit of a spoiler. Next year, The Strain is going to be it's going to be on Broadway. It's going to be musical. And we have a real-life Broadway musical actor here, Noah Weisberg, joining us. Noah, how are you? Thanks for joining us today.
Let's hear it, Noah.
I'm really excited to be here. This is thrilling.
Yeah, Noah, so you're going to be part of The Strain Broadway show, right? Is that not public? Should we not talk about that?
I mean, we're still working things out, so.
Okay. All right, cool. I don't want to get anybody in any hot water, but it's really great that you're here with us today.
Now, I have to jump in. Noah, you've come and you've seen this episode, the penultimate episode of The Strain. So tell our listeners your history with the show.
I didn't know it existed until an hour ago.
That's really great.
Okay, so FX is... So you've never seen it. This is kind of thrilling. We've always had somebody who doesn't watch most of the episodes in Mork, but now we have a clean slate, somebody who is really new to the show. So Noah, you've never seen the show before. I want two things. I want your initial impressions, and were you able to pick it up because we are deep into this season?
Very deep.
Initial impressions, it was enjoyable.
Excellent. Yeah. That's why we watch.
I was able to follow it.
Sure.
Even though I was able to pick up what was happening, I think.
A lot of subtleties, a lot of nuances. Maybe you didn't really get to savor like a lot of our double L's, our loyal listeners, but I think I saw you laughing and crying and jumping into all of our laps during the show. So it seemed like it worked.
I saw him once starting to hum, so maybe he was humming one of the songs from the upcoming Broadway show.
I think Noah knows something a little bit about the music that we don't know. And but we don't want to... No spoilers. We don't want to put you under any undue pressure.
It's going to be mainly spoken word.
A spoken word musical. I love it.
Now, Noah, because you are giving us the clean slate opinion, Who would you say, was there one character that you really liked or one storyline? What intrigued you the most, diving in late like you have?
I don't know any of the characters' names.
That's all right, because neither does Mork.
All right,
that's
okay. But which one would you, like, which, can you describe them?
I thought the intensity of the mayor.
Oh, yes.
If I may talk about the mayor, he was intense.
He was an intense, yeah, he's not easy being
the mayor. It was the mayor's last episode, your first, it's like symmetry.
He was very stoic in his last scene.
Yeah.
All right, so we begin every episode with our rating out of 10. We give it... How many UV lights? How many tongue worms? Let's start it off with you, Catfish, because this is the last episode you're going to get to see for the podcast for the season. How many UV lights out of 10 are you going to give this penultimate episode?
Well, I feel like there's a certain amount of symmetry because between the people on the screen and the people in our viewing audience, there were three people crying at the end of the episode, and so I'm going to give it a 3.
Three out of 10, that is really low, Catfish.
Pretty low.
You must not have liked it. Was there one storyline you really hated? What drove your hatred of it?
There was so much delaying, and the ridiculous, here we are in the 9th episode, and now we're going to deal with Nora and F's relationship, which has been put out of the way for so long and treated in a very bizarre way. And then, of course, we have Coco. Coco Marchand, who has gone through an incredible transformation. She is the one person who knew nothing and has had a great revelation handed to her.
She saw the master. She saw the master, for God's sake.
Well, we can't spend 1 minute finding out about how she's taken this news that there's a whole other world going on, and she has been transformed by it.
I think waking up next to Palmer, that was enough.
That is creepy enough.
After that happened, that is creepy enough. Not much else needed to happen.
Okay, so 3 out of 10 is really low.
3.
Let's go to Mork. Mork, how do you feel about this final episode before the season finale?
The final, I'm going to give it, it's a pretty disappointing, I'm going to give it 4 ungrateful whores.
Oh my goodness gracious! Yeah. That is low.
And
what drove you mad about the episode?
It was just that there was too much not happening. Basically, yeah. This was an exceptional amount of things.
There
not
was
happening.
A lot not happening. There was a lot not happening.
There was a lot
show.
Of people not doing anything when they had the opportunity to do something, and yet they decided not to.
Okay, let's go to you, Noah. Noah, you can go as low as they did. You can go high because it sounded
and it's
like
out of 10. The scale is out of 10.
Out of 10.
Not out of
so,
5. It's out of
so
10.
So out of 10, what do you give it?
All right, so I'm not going to base it on what you guys did. I'm going to be truthful to
it's
myself.
All you, that's, fine, which it's all I can you. Be. It's all you. Fine. Hum it if you need to.
Like sure. Jean Valjean.
Well, listen, I would remember, I have nothing to compare this to. It's the first time I didn't even know it was a TV show.
You could compare it to
today.
The Godfather.
So I would give it a full 10, but I'm going to give it a 9, and for 2 reasons.
Okay.
1, I think the elderly gentleman and the beautiful young lady should have kissed. They teased us with it, and they didn't.
Oh,
so that is a 0.5 point gone.
Okay, got it. You want to see that grotesquerie.
Yeah. Yes, and then when we're flashing, then the other 0.5 point goes away, because when we're flashing back to 2005, they were still very sort of hip wardrobe, like modern fitted. I wanted some 2005, a little baggier. Where's the wardrobe?
Shoulder pads.
Yeah, give me some
ties.
2005. So that loses the point.
Right. Well, yeah.
But besides that, it was perfect.
Noah, that was the most honest reaction I've ever heard. Finally, we get some truth out of this podcast. So now everybody knows. Everybody knows I am the toughest critic of them all.
Right, exactly.
I'm always the
and
lowest
rated. And not just
rated.
Of the show.
And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, how many double B's happened in this episode?
Double B's?
Yeah. How many book buyers were there in the episode?
Well, I mean, we there's at least...
there's
know,
two.
Well, we had Abe, and then...
That's one.
And maybe, I mean, are we counting Quinlan, who was
that's
sort of
two.
Off screen? Or are we counting Palmer?
Three.
Who wasn't really there? Maybe the master, because he's
four.
Involved somehow.
All right.
What about Fett? Fett
yeah,
might
five.
Be
Fett might want it. Now, Coco, she's probably in Palmer's will at this
six.
Point.
Six. All right.
Zach needs something to read.
Seven.
There's a whole crew of guys who just got out of prison who learned how to read. They're going to need something to do.
Dutch's girlfriend needs a book for the trip.
That's it. So if you count all the prisoners... Dutch's girlfriend, Nikki, that is my rating out of 10. 28 out of 10.
This is,
28 out of 10 double B's book buyers.
This is a record-breaking episode. I mean, I don't know, Bubba, honestly, deep in your heart,
Can
the show ever do any better than this? Maybe you should just stop watching now. Will it ever surpass
28? From your lips to my TiVo's ears, yes, I should
really I just want listeners to know... I've totaled up our total scores, and our average score now is 11.
That's great.
It's not bad.
That's so wonderful.
It's fair.
And speaking of our double L's.
Loyal listeners.
That's right. We got some great feedback this week, and so we should get to it right now.
Let's do it.
Some of the first feedback comes from the Facebook page, and it's Nikki Powell who says,
Nikki.
When y'all mentioned this podcast during the Joffrey of Podcasts off-season podcast, I listened to the whole first season of the Got Your Milk podcast without having seen one episode of The Strain.
Smart.
Noah.
Hey now. She says, Nikki says she watched about half the season this summer. Doubt she'll catch up on all of them, but she will continue to listen. Thank you so much, Nikki.
Aww.
Again, my motto is always, we watch so you don't have to.
And that was Nikki writing via the Facebook page. You can always leave us messages and get into debates on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/doublepodcast. That's facebook.com/doublepodcast.
Double P?
Packed podcast.
Okay.
And also, in a couple of weeks, our MySpace page will be going live. So, but until then, Facebook.
No Friendster. You guys.
Get out.
Okay.
Yeah. Noah, please.
We forgot about Friendster. This is really embarrassing.
Noah, we're trying to catch up with Friendster.
We're not even there yet.
We also got some great tweets. Do any of you guys want to read some? I could start us off by Genevieve, who tweeted out Cream, who she's, of course, referring to Marlo Stansfield from The Wire.
Alonzo or his brother Alfonso?
She just wrote Cream. She was playing it, say.
That's why. That's a street name, Cream.
So he's the seller of the Octodo Lumen. And she said, Cream, as Fred Sanford would put it, you big dummy. You should have asked for silver. Hashtag The Strain, hashtag Got Your Milk Podcast. Thank you so much. She also wrote, just when I finally forgot how much I hated F's wig, they brought it back. Oh, sorry, Genevieve. How about you guys? You got any you like?
Well, I'd like to call out Mork here. He got a great one by Strawberried at VN Swift.
Whoa.
She says, when at Extraordinary said he's going to start his own zoo, I've been laughing for weeks.
Ooh, thank you very much.
It's a great idea if you think about it, because right now the Bronx Zoo, probably anybody can just walk in, right? So I'm thinking I'm going to get a pickup truck. I'm going to get a pickup truck full of food, start my own zoo.
I love it.
Excellent. Yeah. Our good friends.
Not as much as Strawberried.
No.
All right.
I think she just changed her mind also.
Our good friends at Geek Girl Soup, who on Twitter, they tweeted out a couple of things. The first thing they said is they saw that wonderful promo for the next FX series, Fargo, and they said, can we just skip to Fargo? It looks awesome. Hashtag The Strain. They also tweeted out, and the pineapple from last week is really blowing up on Twitter. So Geek Girl Soup, Dad Z's tweeted out, my mother-in-law brought home pineapple. I started cackling like a loon. Aw. Asked through my tears if she was going to toss a salad. Aw.
Wait a minute. Wait. This is Dad who? I'm sorry?
At Dad Z on Twitter. That's D-A-D-Z-E-E. Dad Z on Twitter.
All right, Dad Z. All right, fair enough.
But Geek Girl Soup also said if Palmer dies, now they're predicting for this big finale next week, they said maybe Coco and poor man's Christoph Waltz could get together. Ooh.
I think that would actually be less disturbing, to be honest.
Well, it would be less disturbing, but if she got together with him out of love or ambition or something, that'd be fine. But if she chose to get together with PMTG, Poor Man's Tim Gunn, because of what she heard he did with Dutch, then that would be pretty creepy.
I'm afraid throughout the entirety of Coco's run, we will never understand or get her rationalization for anything she does. There's no need to know her motives for anything.
That's because you don't understand women, Catfish.
I don't. Coco will never explain women to me either.
I think before I read this next tweet, I've got to go to You Know It. Now, people have been talking about Dutch. Dutch is the girl who broke up with Fed at the beginning of the episode, then went to see her girlfriend, and her girlfriend's like, I'm leaving you. You've got the fight of the battle. I want to ask you, this is your first time in, Noah. What nationality would you say that Dutch, sexy female hacker Dutch, broke up with a man, got heartbroken by a lesbian, Dutch? What would you say is her nationality, Noah?
This is big. No pressure.
I was texting a lot during the show, so not sure who turned on.
That's why he gave it such a high rating.
Yeah.
Is it the woman reporter, the female reporter?
No, sure.
No, remember the woman who asked the question in the beginning?
No.
That's a different person. This is the hot blondie.
Hot blonde. I'm going to say she's... I watched the same show you guys did, and I have no idea who to... So I'm going to say she's from Kansas City.
Yeah, there you go.
That is pretty good.
Close enough.
Thank you very much for that, Noah. We were putting you on the spot there, but the reason why is that for two seasons now, we have been calling Dutch the sexy Aussie hacker. So she's got a little accent. And I got this great tweet from FiggyD27. That's FiggyDEE 27.
Oh, no.
Who says, the Got Your Milk podcast makes me laugh my ass off, but Dutch is not an Aussie.
What?
She's English. Sorry, that's been bugging me. Hashtag carry on. Oh, we feel bad for insulting.
No, she's an English actress, but they didn't mention where she's from during the show. I thought maybe you got that from something in the show.
I just thought that I could have sworn that was her accent was Australian. It didn't sound English to me.
And English people don't know how to use computers.
That's a great, great point. So
you know why? Because they always get their scones in the machinery.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, I shouldn't edit that out at all. Okay, nope. So I apologize.
We'll be
Figgy.
Selling scones at the zoo, everyone.
I apologize, FiggyD27. She, according to the Strain Wiki, is English. Oh, my goodness gracious. So we apologize about that. Final tweet we got here, it's from our good friend, at the Kindly Boy on Twitter.
Oh,
he said this episode should have been named, quote, Ungrateful People, or how Eichhorst likes to say it, Ungrateful Whore. Thank you very much, Kindly Boy. Everybody is having a great time with this episode, tweeting, maybe not watching. it really didn't feel like much happened, and it's going to be, there were a lot of storylines all set up theoretically for big events next week in the finale.
I've got faith. I've got a lot of faith. I'm looking
forward to it. You gave the episode a four.
Well.
What is the faith based on?
It was a strong four, and it was trending up. I'd rather be a four trending up than an eight trending down.
No problem. So where do we begin? It is a tough call. Oh, we have to go to our favorite scene, our UV light scene in the episode, or our spilt milk / spoiled milk scene of the episode. Who wants to start us off? Catfish, you look excited. So why don't you get us off with your favorite scene of the episode?
You know what? After much thinking, I am going to give my favorite and my spilt milk scene. I'm going to make it the same scene.
Oh, no.
Because the only scene where any kind of action happened, I thought, was in the scene where poor man's Christoph Waltz, Eichhorst, confronts Palmer and Coco. Because at least there was a little action. There was a little menace in that scene. And Palmer got the news that... the white wasn't going to sustain him forever, so that was a bit of sad news for him.
Can I ask us a question, though?
Mm-hmm.
Is that even after he got the white, he kept complaining that the master didn't complete the bargain and he didn't get fully turned. So was he really fooled that the white wouldn't last forever?
I never got the idea that the white lasted forever, and maybe that's just because... I didn't feel that way even before we saw that Satrakian had to dose himself in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the reason why I didn't like it. Also, again, the same thing where I say it's menacing and the scene was interesting, but it provided more questions than answers and showed the weakness that this show has.
All right, so that was your spilt
the one. The one weakness.
Your spilt milk scene and your UV light scene. Mork, let's go to you.
I'm just as lazy as the writer.
Mork, let's go to you. Do you want to separate? You want to name them both? Let's hear it. What do you got?
Oh, golly. I mean, there's a lot to think about. I would say spilt milk is going to be, and I don't even know if it was a full scene, but it's Nora getting the phone call about Zach's grandparents. You know, we've never seen these people before. There's any emotion invested in them that being alive or dead. The mom's turned into a Strigoi. I mean, he's dealing with so much where is it really that big of a deal that they're alive?
Well, it's obvious that they know, you can tell how much they like F because they just rather would talk to their daughter's ex-husband's lover rather than their daughter's ex-husband.
Or just any random person who answered the phone, yeah. So that would probably be my least favorite.
Okay. So what was the scene you did? I missed it. Your UV light scene. What was it?
That was not my UV light.
Yeah. So what was that?
I'm gonna say it was really just the end of when our bra Gus is walking out of Rikers, and you know, the leader of the pack that he freed is about to try to turn the tables on him. And the Silver Angel steps up and actually does something other than complain and shoots him in the belly with a shotgun.
Hell yeah.
That was great.
Now, are we set to believe that all the other people who were freed were so cowed by this other leader and not really supportive of him that their absolute non-reaction to him getting him shot was... Do we believe that? They're like, okay, he's dead now.
Well, it meant they had to obey Gus and the Silver Angel because they didn't want to get shot.
You're
now,
right.
Admittedly,
the 20 guys who all had guns were afraid of the old man with the shotgun with two barrels.
They could have watched some of the Silver Angels movies as well. They could have all been arrested for working illegally in the basement of tandoori restaurants all over the city and have seen some of his great work, so they knew not to step up. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Noah, I have a feeling your UV light scene may be the scenes you were texting during, but let's hear it. We need to know your UV light scene and or your spilt milk scene.
All right, so I'm going to start with the positive.
All right.
Yeah.
My favorite scene was really more of a shot. It was like the DP did something really cool. It was an upshot. There was a long hallway and like a big white and black building.
Yeah, that was
a courthouse.
That was a commercial.
Hey, no. Let him go.
So that I thought was a beautiful shot. I remember people were walking down the stairs. They were talking while they were walking.
Sure.
So that's tough. So they did that. So I thought it was a beautiful shot. And then the scene that I actually liked it, but now, I don't know how this podcast normally goes because I also didn't know you guys existed till today. But you guys, you watched the show live, which is great. And then, but you, one of you guys, whoever had the remote, accidentally rewound a little bit. And so I thought, oh man, this is really repetitive. Until about 3 minutes in, one of you, somebody said, we've seen this already. This is, so it took like 3 minutes for you guys to realize that we had already seen it. Yep. I think at that point I was checking Instagram. I looked back up and I was like, this does look familiar. Okay. So that would be my least favorite scene, though it's not the creator's fault. It was probably a great scene.
It's because we made you watch it twice.
Yep. Now, you know what? That would be a worse scene, I have to admit.
Bad you didn't see there was a great scene that the DP did last week where he was shooting up something too, but you missed that one.
It's my turn for
Dutch's skirt.
I've
got two nominees.
Whoa, for which
favorite
one?
Scene? Okay. Both because they were I didn't see them coming. I did not see in a million years. Last week, if you'd told me last week that this episode would begin with Dutch breaking up with the guy who just saved her, the guy who broke in and saved her from I-Corps to Fett, I would have said, yeah, that seems so abrupt. There's no way you could possibly do that. And yet they did it. And so that was a shock. Just as shocking to me was killing the mayor. Mm. It paid off such huge dividends in that he's no longer in the show. And
well,
so,
you know what? I will say this, though. That did surprise me.
Yeah, it was surprising.
Well, right. And what surprised me as well was I thought for sure they were telegraphing that, especially when the cop comes in, that they planted all that stuff that was missing from the mayor in Justine Feraldo, poor woman's Elizabeth Banks' home, so she would get taken out of the picture. But instead, they pulled a reverse, and Palmer's kind of bringing her in. So that was interesting to me. I did not expect that.
That is interesting.
Yeah, and so part of the reason why this second part was my favorite scene is because the cop, this coroner, whoever this guy was, he says, some people think they can take advantage of the chaos in this city. Not on my watch. I'm gonna leave now. So he's like,
you've never seen me before.
Right. You can't take
You'll
advantage.
You'll never see me again.
Right. Later.
But my watch is never ending. It's all seeing. Be careful. Well, I think he's been hanging out with Fitzwilliam's brother. That's all I'm going to
say.
They've been getting ready to do some damage.
All right. And so my spilled milk, my spoiled milk scene. You guys are going to accuse me of being human. But
never.
I wouldn't dare.
But it was in the previously on. In the past, when they keep bringing up the fact that F killed Everett Mart, I've like literally gone crazy because I know that no one cares. No one in the audience cares. It had no effect on the show whatsoever, but they keep reminding you that he killed Everett Mart. And so when they showed it again in this episode, I couldn't even get angry. I just had to laugh and be like, obviously, nothing's going to happen in this episode.
But that's not true. I have to jump in. I got to contradict you.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Everett Barnes' mother cares a lot about the fact that he was thrown off a train.
He does.
He was her favorite.
No one cares.
She admitted it, and then he died.
I'm actually sorry. Since I had a twofer, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say there was one scene that was worse than anything.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, worse than not knowing
what
Coco thinks about her whole transformation. It is...
Sure.
9 episodes of not dealing with F and Nora's relationship, and then all of a sudden getting a huge dose of it here. You know what Noah does not know is that even though if he comes to this show, he would think they've been talking the whole season about dealing with this relationship with F and Nora. No, they've ignored that relationship the entire season until tonight.
Well, but now Noah got to see how they met, and so he wasn't lost at all.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And to quote Nora in the flashback, it's always been happening. It's always been happening. It's just under the surface. No words have ever needed to be spoken. They didn't need to be in the same room.
I mean, they set this relationship last season, and then...
Right, it broke up F's marriage.
Yeah, it broke up F's marriage, and then they've been kind of dancing around each other. No words spoken about, like, tension or we're not together.
Yeah,
I might have a Bubba moment.
No, I might have a Bubba moment. Be careful.
No.
You may need to talk me down.
We got rid of the ledge. You can't go out onto the ledge because we had it removed.
Now, Noah, I don't want to make you suddenly be incredibly personal, But have you ever had a romance like Effa and Nora's where you met because she was asking you really rude questions and you were rude back and you had that kind of hate spark that turned into love? You ever been in a relationship that started antagonistic and turned to love, Noah?
Every relationship I've been in has started that way.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, and I've only been in one relationship, so.
Okay. All right, you're one for one.
My one. All right. I was in seventh grade.
Oh, my God.
All right.
It was all handwritten notes.
Ooh.
Yep.
Who was the gym in your relationship? Who was the one who brought you guys together by constantly saying, you shouldn't get together, you guys make a great couple, I'm drunk?
Carly.
Oh, that damn Carly. Always stirring things up.
Oh, girl. Yeah. Were you guys happy? Catfish, you just named it your spoiled milk scene of the week, but were you happy to see Jim back and alive, the good old days?
No.
All right, so time to recap the episode. All right. Do we want to touch on this flashback, which showed how these two lovebirds who haven't really been in love all season
It's
got
always
together.
Been happening. I don't know if we need to, but what I
that's a good point.
What might come in handy is, you know, back in 2005,
right?
Nora's mom was alive.
Oh, no.
So do we want to do a little reenactment on what Nora's mom might have been doing while Nora was at the conference down in D.C.?
Let me say, I'm pretty sure Nora's mom was the cat calling the puddle black.
That could be.
Thank you, Jim.
That could be. All right, point of order. Moving on.
The only thing that's even mildly interesting in that scene is that they've taken the approach that they both kind of ignored, which is the bioweapon approach. But who cares?
Right. Well, remember, at the beginning of the season, F was like, I'm going to create a bioweapon to kill the Strigoi. Then he had one admittedly minor setback that got four people killed. I threw Everett Bards from the show. All right. It got four people killed, and then suddenly he had a new mission. I'm going to kill Palmer. And then, of course, he messed up once, kind of got away with messing up, and so now he has a new mission.
Right, they're back to the
now
old
he's,
plan.
Well, the
he's
old
just
plan,
get
but get Zach out of the
back.
City. Yeah.
His through line this season has been amazing. It feels like I'm drunk when I'm writing down his through line.
We see them come together. We see that this is kind of tied to, as Mork pointed out, the parents.
Yes.
The mother, formerly known as Lovely Kelly's parents,
yes,
who are down on Sea Island, Georgia, which I've actually been to. Lovely place, no Strigoi. And so they're going to come pick up Zach 2.0. And so F, who has always been so hurt about that custody battle for Zach 2.0. He's really, really been hurt about it. But now he and Nora and Zach are going to get out of this city next episode. What's going to go wrong? Let's have our predictions. What's going to go wrong next week? How in the world are they not going to get out of the city?
Well, if they get out of the city, maybe something will happen in the city. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Catfish, do you have a prediction?
Yeah, I have a prediction, and that is, and it's just kind of hopeful, in that Zach has been kind of, there's been a threat of Zach getting put in danger all season.
Yeah.
And I think that he actually, unlike Walter White, he is not the danger, but he does actually get in, he actually gets swiped next week. I predict Zach gets swept up.
So you're saying Zach attack next week.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you think that the phone call was a ruse? Was fake grandparents?
No, I think it was just another crazy thing. Let's throw something else at them so that there appears to be some movement.
Okay.
But I do predict. I mean, we would all admit that Zach actually being taken would be the most shocking thing that would have happened all season.
It would be something of consequence. I keep pointing out that no matter what happens in all these episodes, they're back in status quo, like an episode later.
Right.
And
right.
So that would be a big shock and probably our
Maybe
first
would,
one of the season.
It would focus F. He could figure out exactly go to one plan and stick with it.
Noah, this is unfair to do. But that's what this podcast is about, unfairness.
Yes.
So you saw them meet, you saw them fall in love, you saw them ruin a marriage, and you see that they've decided to all get out of the city next week. Do you believe in love? Do you believe in happiness? Will they escape? Or what do you suspect will happen to Zach 2.0, F, and Nora?
I am so sincerely confused. I have no idea what you're... Honestly, I really don't.
That's okay.
And it's... All right.
Does this have anything to do with Carly?
Everything since seventh grade has
Fair
everything
enough.
To do with Carly. Her bat mitzvah was amazing.
Yeah.
And that's a whole another story. But I do think that they will make it out. I lived in New York for a long time. I made it out.
Okay.
There's a chance I'll go back. So I feel like if I can make it out,
they can make it out.
Yeah. Hell
if you
yeah.
can make it out anywhere.
You know what that sounds like to me?
What?
That sounds like a Broadway song in the making.
Again, I can't. I wish I could talk about it.
I can make it out of here. We'll make it to Sea Island, Georgia.
You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
But New York sticks with you. You know, the city always sticks with you.
Right.
So wherever they go, if they do make it off, they're going to want to get back.
There's something about that city, even with all the Strigoi around.
There's something special about it.
Heck yeah. Now, I love that. I love positivity, and I love that it proves you have never seen this show before. There is no way they are getting out of the city. I will say that, what do we call the children who are in the loim? The feelers, the feelers,
monkeys,
right? The feelers,
oh, yeah,
the creepers.
Yeah, the feely, the creepy crawlies.
They've been creepy all season long. They have taken a couple episodes off like Strabone, Quinlan, and so I say they come on strong next week, and it's a cliffhanger of where's Zach or... Yeah, where's Zach? That sounds like a good cliffhanger of who's got Zach.
Where's Zach? Where's Zach? Where is Zach? Where is Zach? Where is Zach? I'm just spitballing.
That is very off-Broadway right there. Off-key and off-Broadway.
We got to start somewhere.
All right, so the next storyline that let's knock out of the park, sure enough, is Gus and the Silver Angel. And maybe this is the most thrilling one. I was a bit lost as to why it was all happening until the end, and that Strabone Quinlan apparently told Gus and the Silver Angel, get me a posse. We need to go to war. We need some people to fight this war. So Gus and Silver Angel go to Rikers Island. Noah, you've been to New York City. What's Rikers Island like?
It's tough. It is. I mean, it's not a place you want to be.
Are you done with your parole?
I also cannot talk about
that. Okay. All right. No, that's fair. That's totally fair.
Heck yeah. So they go in
but he
there.
He has to stay 500 feet away from Carly and her parents.
Understandable.
Now, the Silver Angel, Catfish, you were pointing this out. Did you notice what the Silver Angel was wearing on one of his knuckles?
Oh, yeah. He was wearing that great cross. He was going to make a cross knuckle sandwich from the movie in which he got his knee hurt in.
Oh, that's so right.
My favorite flashback of the season because it was fun and scary. Two things I wish this show was.
Now, the Silver Angel, we know from his time in the Tandoori Palace that he hates gangbangers and hates tattoos.
Yeah.
So, did he kill that guy at the end because he had tattoos?
Probably.
You know, there was kind of an interesting moment where it's like, and I don't know whether Gus means it or not, because we've sort of softened to Gus, right? And then basically he says, look, you help me and you can just rape and pillage your way through the town. We don't care. And the Silver Angel wants to interject there, but he feels outnumbered.
I would too.
The Strigoi were nesting. It still blows me away a bit that if you see a bunch of Strigoi nesting, why don't you just kill them? You know, it's like, no, we'll sneak by and not wake them up.
Well, there was two guys.
Why not just kill them?
There's two guys. They didn't have any of those, light bombs or, you know, silver powder, any of that stuff. They want to get in. They want to get out.
Here's a quick question.
Yeah, it's fine.
This is a problem.
Quick question. Turn that mic.
We always have a problem with how this show represents, like, the exact level of panic and disarray in the city. There are a lot of things happening everywhere, but apparently they've decided that the jail is not important and everyone would just leave the jail.
And?
Right. Yeah, and not feed them. The National Guards moved in, but theoretically they did nothing to secure the prison. I mean, it makes no sense.
Yeah, it's almost like they've decided to do is abandon the human zoo.
Ooh, very good. You know, we had a tweet about this because remember for all last season and this season, theoretically, cell phones didn't work, but people are calling each other all the time, except when they need them to work. The landlines work fine. Nobody uses them, except in today's episode where they use it to get Zach 2.0's grandparents. So, yeah, it is a bit of a mess, but I would say that it was a bit fun seeing the prison thing. What did you guys
say? Yeah, no, I mean, there's any time we're in a confined space and all that, yeah, it's it's great. But you know, what you said a minute ago about Strabone was setting up. He had instructed Gus and Silver Angel to get in there. Well, why? Because basically they needed 20 people to take out Satrakian after the book. They don't need 20 guys. Gus could do that on
right.
his own.
So why don't either of the Double B book buyers? Why doesn't either side, every side, go attack the guy in the night? You know, why not attack him? Yes, he's closed off the subway, so you can't get to his island where he is, where Cream is. But why not just go get him? You know, like when the Cardinal had the Octo Lumen or was trying to sell the Octo Lumen, Satrakian just broke into his place, as did Eichhorst. Yet now, for some reason, no, we all got to wait till tomorrow, aka the season finale.
Yeah, and maybe they said it, and I apologize because I was texting back and forth with Noah.
Yep.
But where is this? Where is this bidding war going down? Is it going to be on Roosevelt Island or somewhere else? I wasn't
clear.
No.
It's there on Roosevelt Island at Cream's place.
All right. Well.
You know what I think would delight me at this moment? I'd like to ask a quick question
since
we're sort of on this topic. We just briefly touched on it. I'd like to ask Noah what he thinks the Oxido Lumen is.
And also, how important do you think it is?
Good call. The Oxido Lumen.
Yeah, to mankind, anything, you know, whatever.
I feel like it's overwhelming because there is a lot of stuff going on. I feel like that is... Remember the guy, and it's sad that he died. He used to sell the OxyClean stuff. Is that the sort of secret?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in that helps make your white so white and the bright so bright.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
You're just so close. You're
right,
so close.
Obviously, that's important.
Yeah,
because I mean, if you're sort of surviving on what's left of New York,
you don't want dingy clothes.
No, you want to look your best.
Yeah,
your clothes are so bright they become UV white. It kills Strabone.
It kills the Strabone.
Yeah, I love it.
It makes total sense.
So you know what? I'm glad I asked you. I was worried that might put you on the spot, but I'm glad.
No.
You really brought some brightness to this subject.
Great. That's what I got from the show. So I.
All right. So let's go round robin real quick. At the end of next week's episode, who will have the silver book, the Octo Lumen? I'm going to say at the end of next week's episode, Strabone Quinlan will have it. Catfish, how about you?
Wow. You know. I am so conditioned to think that nothing happens on this show, and I know next week is the final episode. So, but my honest-to-God guess would be somehow nobody gets it.
Actually, that's a great guess.
Nobody gets it, meaning it bursts into flames, or...
Well, I don't know how it does. It get to the bottom of the ocean? Does someone drive it away in a one-person submarine?
That's a good
somehow,
call.
Somehow,
that's the best guess.
It's not going to end up in either one of these participants' hands.
All right, to you,
it's
Mork.
Too important.
Mork, next week, who's going to have it?
I think F is going to end up with the book, and he's not going to give it to Satrakian. That's my bold prediction.
That's pretty good.
It's my bold prediction.
It's not fair, Noah. Do you want to just describe a person you think might have the book next week?
Either on the show or not on the show.
Right. Yeah. So I think, you know, Pete's Dragon, Mickey Rooney, Jim Dale, right?
Yeah.
They're doing a remake.
They are, but it's not going to be a musical, so of course I'm not as interested.
Oh,
of course, I'm all about Broadway.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Punxsutawney.
Yeah. So I think that the guy that reminds me of Jim Dale in Pete's Dragon, who sings Passamaquoddy, that whole thing, the guy with the goatee, the older...
Oh, yeah, that is Satrakian.
Satrakian. So okay. I hope he'll get it, because he's...
Lumen. Who's got the lumen? I want the lumen.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Do we have the jobs?
Who would know that lumen rhymed with lumen? All right, so I think that's a great, great setup.
It's so important. You got to repeat it.
It is.
Yeah. Lumen.
All right, so moving forward, we have Dutch and Fett. And we do a lot of reenactments on this show, Noah, as you just found out.
Yes.
So right now, Dutch and Fett breaking up, it was the heartstrings were pulled, the tongue worms were pulled.
Oh,
it was mm-hmm. touching. And so right now, we take you to Red Hook, Brooklyn, and we see Fett and Dutch as they have their last goodbye. G'day, mate. It's me, British Dutch.
You look so good. I save you good, yes? Real good.
This is so hard for me.
Yes, it's so hard for me, too.
It's hard for me, like, drinking a Foster's when I'm there in London. It's so terrible that you, a man who risked his life to save me, I've got to leave him and go back to the dingo who Dant brought me.
You're Nikki. Leaving?
I'm leaving.
You're
you
leaving
for
me
Nikki.
For Nikki?
Yes,
I saved you. Don't you feel any shame?
Listen.
I have bread truck outside for when you feel shame.
I know. Listen, I did that not because I felt shame, but because I saw you wearing a badge.
It's gold badge. It's gold badge.
Right.
Like it my love for you, gold.
Listen to me.
Nikki
and I have a shot. I saw my life flash in front of my eyes when I ate that pineapple last week. Mm. And if there's one thing I could say, it's my life boomeranged back to me here in jolly old England. And so I've got to make it. I've got to go to Nikki and give her one last chance to win, to have my love and have her own baby.
Now, why not you consider we both go give Nikki what she wants, yes?
I'm walking out. We'll always have the bread truck.
Mm, I remember. My heart in my pants.
I'll miss you, Fett.
Mm.
End scene. Oh, my God. Tears were cried. Things were lost. It was like the show did it, but longer and slower.
But I just want you to know that scene is important for...
It is for?
Yeah. Well, I'll just give you a little taste. Why you leaving?
Lumen! Lumen!
Why you leaving, Dutch?
Oxido, Lumen!
You give me BJ Lumen. And Van.
All right, okay.
Give me BJ and Van.
Oxido!
And the Act Two curtain comes down. So, guys... Will Fett take Dutch back? That's next week's episode. Let's hear it.
Will she go back? Will she be embarrassed and not go back to Fett?
Oh, you think she'll go to other characters on this show?
Will she go? Okay, who is she more likely to go back to?
Fett or Dutch?
Fett.
I'm Fett or Nora.
Fett or poor man's Tim Gunn?
Listen to me. She
Can
is
they make it
She's going to go back to Fett and say, I've had a change of heart. Just like Ayers Rock, my love for you is strong. So I don't know. I obviously she's got to have something to do this season.
Satrakian?
Now that Nikki's left, I think she's going to go back to Fett. Boy, I don't know. I have a hard time seeing where that storyline goes.
I mean, he's a dude, and he's just been turned down. Like, it feels to me like...
By her, though.
Yes, I know, but what I'm saying is, like, there's a five-second rule for dropping something on the floor. For dropping a dude, there's, like, an eight-hour rule. You could come back within 8 hours, and the dude would be like, nothing happened. Fine.
I don't know.
Not Fett.
I don't know.
Fett's been through a lot of Aussies.
She is going to have to agree to, like, to listen to a lot of architecture discussions.
A lot of architecture
be a lot of architecture seminars.
A lot of recipes and making
So does anybody have a guess about what Dutch will do in the
okay,
season?
Okay, you know, now that you mention it, let's just say to keep it interesting that Fett will say no, and then Fett gets closer to Nora as has been happening the last
episodes. That's a good
seems
call.
Like they're sort
that's
of getting
a good
close.
Call. They're a good team. I like that. Okay.
Maybe
anybody
Dutch
disagree?
And Nora can, Dutch and F can be ashamed and drunk together.
No. I think Dutch dies next week.
Whoa. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
Strong, powerful
That's
take
what I do.
From Mork.
I have opinions. I don't offer insight or analysis, but I do have opinions.
Good call. Will she die or be turned? Which is it? So you mean just up dead?
Yeah, it'll be somewhat heroic, but yeah, she's dead.
Nice call.
Oh, maybe
nice
she saves
call.
Fed.
Yeah, she could save Fed, Zach 2.0, who cares? But she's going down. Not like she did in the
truck.
But,
got it.
Okay, so guys, we're next up. The next storyline we got to tackle is Justine and the mayor. And Noah, you've lived in New York City. Are there two more appropriate names if you want shorthand for the New York City City Council than Bernstein and Morello? I thought that was a bit rude myself. What do you know about the New York City? What did you think about the mayor and councilwoman Ferrall, though?
Well, I thought. To that point, I thought there were a lot of interesting names and sort of stereotypes. You had the two you just mentioned, Bernstein and what was it?
Morello.
And then you had a couple extras who I thought would somehow be involved, but they were literally just background, like Hasidic or Orthodox Jews, because they're like, it's diamonds and gold, so we got to get some So I'm thinking, first of all, as an actor, Where do they find, are they authentic Orthodox guys that also do extra work? They're like, it's not Shabbos. I can be there and do the work.
Right. Do you feel left out that you could have gotten
I'll take any work.
But okay. But I mean, these guys had like authentic payas. I mean, you know, you can't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they looked really real. Yeah. Like the wig for one of our lead roles wasn't as good as the beard of a guy who was blurry in the background. So I thought this might be a real guy who.
Well, in New York, you probably can get some Hasidic background guys.
Which I love. I just never, you know.
Although this is shot in Canada.
Shot in Toronto. So in New York, you could.
Well, probably in Canada, you probably could.
Sure. We guess.
For all of our, sorry to interrupt, guys. For all of our loyal listeners who are also casting directors, Noah has payas adjacent hair. So just keep that in mind. Put that on the list. A little note in the bottom corner of the headshot. Sorry, guys.
Now, another thing that's sort of in this scene that was not talked about, but is the setup for this is they kind of are setting up the 99% versus the 1%, where she's going to tax all the rich people. She's successful in an outer borough, and then she's coming.
The one who's taking over
the one. Woman, yeah, the yeah. woman, Councilwoman Feraldo, who's got a good New York accent. So she's essentially taxing them, and they get it all in a brouhaha about that. And yet, well, you'll notice the people outside the meeting who are protesting are the 99%, not the 1%. Well, so that was a little odd, wasn't it?
Well, look, I mean, if you're in the 1%, do you have time to protest? No. You hire some people to do it for you. I mean, wasn't that what Occupy was all about?
Oh, the job creators. The supposed job creators.
They're out creating some jobs.
They're creating jobs.
That's what they're doing.
Well, it's how the Republicans convince people that that welfare is bad for them and taxing the rich is bad for them, even though they're not rich.
You've heard about voodoo economics?
Yeah.
This is vampire economics.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
It's all right.
It's like instead of trickle down, it's suckle down.
Can I let you know, by the way, you just said vampire. It was probably 2030. Because, again, I really hadn't seen the show before. Yeah, 20 to 30 minutes into the show, I was like, oh, this is a vampire show.
And now what was it?
In the jail, somebody said, like, about the vampires, and that's when they didn't shoot them. They're like, I don't want to wake them.
Right.
And then they ended up attacking.
Now, so that is interesting.
I didn't know. I mean,
that
really
is interesting.
Know.
So it is a half an hour in the vampire show before people could realize there's vampires.
Noah, you are giving us a completely unspoiled perspective. We love it. I love it. I honestly wish your notes could go straight to the producers so they could know more vampires. More Strigoi is what everybody wants, right?
Wait, can we talk quickly about that? Because yeah. I don't want to offend anybody. Yeah. I love actors, producers. I mean, I'm so happy that they got the show on the air. God bless, right?
Yeah.
Strigoi?
Strigoi.
Not better. Strig. I don't care. Strig or stud. Like, seems offensive to have that word there, the second part of the word.
Oh, the goy?
Yeah.
Oh,
did
anybody
think of that?
It's G-O-I. It's S-T-R-I-G-O-I.
But it's about how it's pronounced.
No, I'm fine with it. You okay with it, Noah?
I mean,
then
you know.
Fuck everybody. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, Strigoi. Okay. But you don't see it printed. Maybe if we had closed caption on.
Right.
It just, again, for real, just as a first timer, I was like,
yeah.
I didn't understand them. Like, I thought I said Mr. Goy.
Well,
I didn't understand. I thought that could be offensive.
Mr.
Yeah.
Goy.
Now it's all coming together.
Shabbos Goy. Strigoi.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. This all actually happens during the day on Saturday.
So why is Palmer backing Councilwoman Feraldo, who is trying to kill the Strigoi?
I will say,
or is he just want to learn her methods? Why would he do it?
It's the only thing on the show, tonight's show, that was sort of interesting in that he could kill her.
He has killed plenty of people.
I mean, you can assume that obviously he's got a bigger game,
right?
And you can assume what that game is, but it's kind of a little bit of a mystery. And like I said, really the only mystery. So I found it interesting. Again, because I thought for sure, with the cop,
sure,
who doesn't sleep even when other people are getting killed, that they were just going to have the stuff planted in her place. So that was interesting.
Right. Okay, so we didn't. Councilwoman Feraldo, her man Frank, lets in F and Nora just because, hey, I saw them once. Sure, come on in.
Well, don't forget, though, they were part of the people who, they were adjacent to the people who showed them how to UV light the vampires.
Right. Well, theoretically, they got the power back on. So they are kind of heroes.
Right.
Sure.
And so for Councilwoman Feraldo, did she learn who F was? We didn't really see, because F is wanted in a killer. because he killed Everett Barnes. But anyway, so she's going to get them a pass, and then we say goodbye to them, and then we go to Stoneheart Group, the penthouse suite we spent so much time in, and we see Palmer with Coco, and Coco seems to be a fan of Councilwoman Feraldo. Sure. When who walks in, Eichhorst. And so...
He doesn't need an appointment. I just want to make that clear.
No.
And now Coco knows why he doesn't need an appointment.
Right.
She was blustering before. Although I would say this, Coco...
Yeah?
For someone who was just an assistant a few episodes ago...
Right.
She's got quite the pair of cojones on her.
Whoa. Ouch. Mm-hmm. Catfish. Mm. Is that a surprise twist that you're saying for the final episode? Or? All right, so...
Palmer, surprise!
So we had this kind of... They've been catty with each other all season long. Eichhorst and Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Palmer, now he has Coco. He has something to live for. Maybe not turn into a vampire for. Eichhorst is saying, listen... We'll go together to get the Akito Lumen. Palmer's acting like, ooh, there'll be some sort of twist. He's implying to Coco that, ooh, there's more than meets the eye going on. So why don't we, since you're not going to be here, Catfish, next week, why don't we have a preview spoiler scene?
Oh, boy.
Between Eichhorst, poor man's Christoph Waltz, Mr. Palmer, and, of course, Coco and the Master. So this is going to be a four-person reenactment.
Whoa, boy.
All right. This is pretty big.
La, 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 la. Me, me, me.
Okay. I shouldn't have tuned out while you were just talking.
Oh, no. As many of our listeners did. But okay. So once again, we've got Eichhorst, the Austrian Nazi who can't die because he's a vampire. We've got Mr. Palmer, the old man, old crusty old man who's happy and to be alive because he got the white and he loves this young assistant of his who's going to double team Eichhorst apparently. Double cross. All right, we have...
Yes! Let's do that scene.
Sexual situation.
Wait a minute. We have Bolivar, a.k.a. the new master.
Oh, my God.
And finally,
uh-huh.
Probably the most important person we have, the ungrateful bitch, Coco. So
a whore, please.
Ungrateful whore.
Okay, yes. So we take you to next week's season finale of The Strain in the Stoneheart Group.
Coco, get over here quickly. My still hasn't fallen off yet.
Well, I will come to you and I will seek to it. I will speak to it. I will take care of your business.
Are you French or Austrian?
My parents were French.
Coco, I'm very nervous that you're not who you say you are.
Oh, but how do you like this?
So she is an ungrateful bitch. It's me. I coursed. I don't need an appointment or an accent.
You...
And look who I've brought with me. The Master.
Hello.
Bolivar is here to collect the Octodo Lumen, Mr. Palmer.
It's early. Number one, haven't been to my spin class. Number two, Coco and I have been trying to advance our relationship, take it to the next level, if you will.
Yes.
And I'm old. I need a minute. I just took the pill. Give me 30 minutes.
I'm here for the Oct... What's it?
He wants the Octodo Lumen.
I want the Octodo Lumen, please. I came for the Octodo Lumen.
You don't need it, Mr. Master.
Let me ask a quick question, please.
Coco, yes, are you Coco, mocking my Austrian accent?
Speak up.
Why are you mocking my accent, Coco?
I'm just wondering. Is Eldridge the only one here who still has his business?
As far as I know, yes. And we don't. No one else needs to answer that question. Here, just believe me.
No, when the master gave him the white, he took away the wang.
Oh, that's a shame.
True, but I have this 1927 autograph from Lou Gehrig. I also have a baseball glove.
Master!
I also have a ping pong
master,
paddle.
Tell them what you'll do to them if they don't hand over the lumen.
If you don't hand over the lumen, I will not allow you to have any more pizza. I know that you both love the pizza.
Son of a bitch.
How could you take away the pizza?
God, well, this is New York City. We love pizza. You know, get pizza.
God, master.
That's all right. He eats it with a fork anyway. He
Coco,
should not have it.
Do not listen to him, Coco. I invested in pizza years ago. I have a room in the Upper West Side full of pizza just for you. Stay with me, please.
it's all moldy now. It's no good. You got to refrigerate pizza. It's got the, it's got cheese. It's got the pepperoni.
The cheese is the mold. It's good, Coco. Please, believe me.
Don't listen to him. Just now, this one time, over the
I am
lumen.
Tired of his moldy cheese. I give you the lumen. I give you the lumen.
And with this lumen, we shall take it, along with the Rockefeller Center dancers. Da da ba da ba ba da. We accuse you of being human.
Lumen, 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 lumen.
Oxido.
And if something that exciting happens next week, you can say you heard it first here on the Got Your Milk podcast.
Not just next week, but next year on the Great White Way.
That's true. So, guys, is there anything else that you want to touch on this great penultimate episode of The Stray?
Well, just one, you know, thinking about it now, because, of course, while I watch, I try not to think too much, is that the two main groups that are after this lumen, their buddies, the people who are helping them,
yeah,
are planning on stabbing them in the back as soon as they get it.
So you're saying the master and I, of course, they want to get it, but Palmer's quote-unquote plotting against them. And then, theoretically, Satrakian,
there's only thing that matters is Octoco Lumen.
He's trying to get it, but his buddy Strabone Quinlan is going to stab him in the back.
Exactly.
I've got a new prediction. Sorry, guys. A new prediction.
Okay. A new prediction.
Coco is going to run off with Satrakian. They're going to go to Quebec, where Coco speaks perfect French. Everything's okay there.
Oh, oui, oui.
And Silver Angel
will be
the lone survivor. He will run the city.
She does speak French, but sometimes when she's around Germans, her accent gets corrupted.
Apparently.
Well, we've all been there.
Okay, guys. Next week, we're going to pray that something happens and we have some exciting action next week in the finale. I've got to give an announcement real quick. A good buddy of ours, Heath, who's filled in for us on the Joffria podcast. Heath, who filled in for us, he wanted me to promote. He's got a new movie coming out, and it's he plays the mobster Big Tony in the comedy. Get this ready for this title. All American Bikini Car Wash. Is that a name of a straight-to-video film or not?
But no.
Heath Solo.
It's one I hope to watch late at night when my girlfriend's
right.
sleeping.
Heath Solo.
Like, really, she's really asleep.
That's for sure. Heath Solo plays the mobster Big Tony in the comedy. He calls it a throwback to comedy in the vein of American Pies and Revenge of the Nerds. It's going to be on Amazon soon, DirecTV, Dish Network, and Uverse, and he's been asking us to promote it. So everybody go to Heath Actor's Twitter account and congratulate him on the new film coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
Go Heath!
Alright, so that's going to do it for this episode of Got Your Milk. I'm sure everybody's going to want to tweet at us and complain about our low ratings, except for Noah's, our low ratings for this episode because they are fans of The Strain. They want some positivity from us, and Noah's the only one who brought it this week. So let's go around and tell people how they can reach us on Twitter. Catfish, why don't you lead us?
You can hit me up at CJGman67.
If you want to talk to Mork, he's at Extraordinary. That's Extraordinary with the W for the last R.
You can reach me, Bubba, on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim. And our wonderful, thank you very much, special guest Noah. How can people direct you to learn more about this show?
You can find me on Twitter at NoahWeisberg.com. That's WEISBERG.
Ooh. And what's your Friendster account?
That's private. That's where.
Sorry, that's where the connections happen.
Slow down.
Got it.
Okay, so next week we've gone 12 episodes with nothing really happening. We've spent 12 episodes looking for the Octo Lumen. We have found it. It's within our grasp.
Yes.
All we need to do is maybe get a little vitamins in us, maybe a little calcium in us. Next week, there's going to be one podcast that has got
your milk.
Hey, Noah, why do you think we call it Got Your Milk?
I don't know. I've been sitting here the whole time trying to figure that out. I really don't know.
And see.